both Wall Street and the electricity sector are dependent on the same global positioning system, or GPS, signals from space to operate. Every banking transaction requires a timing signal from GPS. In other words, if there's no GPS, there's no banking in the U.S. Everything shuts down. It becomes an existential threat.
Yes and no. Banking doesn't necessarily need GPS to work.
You don't think so? So,
no.
So you think
it's, it's made up. Well, the thing is, the U.S. can't even launch its own astronauts, so how are we going to have a space force?
Well, we're about to. 2019, we'll be launching our...
More like 2021.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, it's slow and cumbersome, and so Trump will be out of office and maybe even dead by the time we have actually got manned spaceflight back.
So nothing to worry about?
Nothing to worry about.
We're not going to get funded Space Force for existential threats like the power grid.
Just all made-up nonsense that can't do anything about.
Okay.
It's like Y2K, right? It's a sort of made-up nonsense.
Okay.
Galaxies are not constant nurseries of star formation. We are in a later creation of stars when there's a lot more metals. Because in the early phases of the Milky Way, there would be few metals because stars haven't been able to form them yet through fusion.
Huh.
And you need enough metals in order to have the origin of life.
And metals are formed inside novas, supernovas?
Supernovas.
It takes a supernova explosion to create metal. Huh?
Yeah, iron is the heaviest element that can be made by ordinary star furnaces. And so you need explosions to create anything heavier than iron.
Big explosions.
Yeah, implosions and explosions and collisions. So the super heavy elements are made maybe by neutron star collisions or that kind of thing. So you have to have a universe that's been around for a while. Because if we're missing certain heavier elements, it's possible that we could not have had life start.
Huh.
It's possible. Because life tends to use a range of things. And the center of the Earth is a nuclear reactor using heavier elements to create heat. And maybe you need to have that. You need to have those elements around. What happens generally is if the galaxies collide, a huge amount of gas is sort of stirred up. And in the collision events, stars themselves don't really collide much, but the gases then can become rich star nurseries, gases being flung around. I worked on a couple of missions designs in the 2000s and the aughts about a mission that would drive down a crater wall, go into a permanently shadowed region, and drill. And I was at a meeting at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and I had an expert on operating the lunar roving vehicle, which drove the astronauts around.
Yeah.
They drove around in Apollo 16 and 17. And he knew how to manage the thermal qualities of the rover to keep it cool. And I couldn't get him into the meeting. And here we are, we're talking about driving rovers where they're being hit by sunlight on a polar crater. And then they're driving straight into this terminator, into the dark shadowed region. And they would be subject to cryogenic temperatures. And we had the Army Cold Regions Lab people there, and they left the meeting when it was clear that the NASA people did not know what they were talking about. That you can't just drive a vehicle that's hot into incredibly cold temperatures and have the electronics survive or even the metal parts
survive. Yeah, it's
just
a totally different ecosystem.
Yeah, and so operating in those cold regions is probably a non-starter.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard, and so actually using that water ice for anything is probably non-starter either, because the equipment's going to be even worse.
It's hard to mine it. Well, that's an interesting point, because it's so cold and equipment doesn't work at 250 degrees below zero for anything.
And automated robotic miners, which you'd use because you couldn't use people, would break right away.
Freeze.
Yes. It's ice there that it's of no use to us. And they found water under the frozen ice cap of Mars. Was imaged.
Which ice cap? The northern?
The northern.
So what does that suggest when you have ice under the cap?
That you've got enough heat coming through the rock in the core of Mars to melt some of it at the rock-ice interface.
Uh-huh.
Which there, in Antarctica, you have that. You have Lake Vostok, which is way under the ice. They've drilled into it.
Uh-huh.
You know. So it's an analog for the Mars water, liquid water on Mars. It would be salty, probably.
Salty, yeah.
Yeah, and if there was bacterial or microbial life, it would be in there.
If it's heated, maybe there's volcanic vents?
Probably not, because of Mars's stagnant. If there were volcanic if there were actual hydrothermal vents coming through, they probably would have melted there, and there would be gases coming out of the ice cap, like there is in Enceladus, the moon of Saturn.
Yeah. Would you look there for life?
No. Definitely not.
Reject that one.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, and not possible.
Not even plausible. Okay.
This might be practical and built in 2062, probably. Past most of the lifetimes of the people alive.
Okay, so nothing, no time soon. This is one of those.
It's one of those
moonshot projects, if you will.
Well, it's one of those that will be a good idea, run out of money, and then go away for a long time, and then someone will rediscover the idea.
Mm-hmm. But you think it has merit, though? It could work.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And it's good to do a study. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame if humanity was together and wasn't fighting these stupid mental fake news wars and worrying about dumb stuff, we could do these projects, because we just decide as a civilization, let's do it, and we do it.
Right, and
we don't do that. If we were a hive mind intelligence, we'd probably think, we get fixated on something and it would just get done. Roger Penrose, now living in Arizona.
Is he?
Yeah, he moved
Sir
to Arizona.
Sir Roger Penrose?
He comes to the Science of Consciousness conference where I saw him present using overhead projector foils.
Really state-of-the-art kind of guy, is he?
I heard millennials next to me whispering, he has some kind of transparent screens and a stylus that the screens can be written on. They thought it was some new technology, but it was overhead, and he was moving these transparencies around until the waves lined up.
Hilarious.
Isn't that hilarious? I can't comment. I don't have any training in this area.
Okay.
But it seems like it's an untestable hypothesis.
That's one of those big ideas that...
that you can't test.
However, it's fun to talk about.
It's hand-waving.
We had Kit Galloway on last week.
Kit Galloway.
The founder of the Electronic Cafe with Kit and Sherry. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah. We had him on with the art astronomer, Don Davis.
I saw that story.
And I'm just kind of curious your opinion on that, the idea of putting up orbital art.
Well, I'd rather they spend the money to test Shepard first so we can get something practical value out of it.
I see. So as a scientist, you really rather not support art in space.
I mean, on the other hand, it's an art thing, and it might get people's attention. And as long as it re-enters after 20 days or something, it's not cluttering up.
Yeah, that's what Don was saying, that these are short. They will last only like a little twinkle in the sky.
That would give us data on inflating large structures with gas, and we could use all the same technology for Shepard. So,
So it could feed science.
Yeah, so like that's why you invent Frisbee, so later on you can create UFOs or something. Do wonderful creative things that you can use later. Sure.
Inspire the artist community. And
then give us a bunch of technology.
Gets us a sense of awe and wonder. And then you can apply that technology to things like advanced CubeSat systems.
Yeah, sure. Why not? If somebody else, if somebody's willing to pay for it. I'm sure they're like $3 or $4 million a piece.